Ladies and gentlemen, a Hashkafa Shia by Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik, Parshas Chaye Sarah.
Unique among the parshas in the Torah is that it deals mainly with the simple things of life, things that are unusual, and things that take place in everyone's life. This Sedra HaYisoro deals mainly with two incidents. First, he discusses the problem that confronted Avram in choosing a burial plot for Sarah, and then he discusses even in greater detail and more elaborately the problem that confronted Avram in regard to the matrimony of Yitzchak. These are problems that confront everyone. Still, the Torah devoted a lengthy discussion to these incidents, and our sages took notice of the uniqueness of this sedra in that it deals with ordinary things. When they said in the Medrash twice, once in connection with the incident of the death of Sarah, and then again it is reiterated in connection with the incident of the matrimony of Yitzchak. Yofa sichoson omar avache. Yofa sichoson shalovdeis. Lifnei amokei, yeisya mitirosom shalboni. This is in connection with the first incident discussed in the Seder. The incident of the death of Saul. And then Ravache says, yofa sichoson shalavdeis. Lifnei amokei mitirosom shalboni. שערי פרשי של העזר הכפולו בתירו והרבה גופי תירו לניתנו אלו במיז. Apparently, God found it more important to discuss elaborately the whole conversation that went on between Avram and Ephron. In the same way, the whole conversation that went on between Eliezer and Risco. And again, the Torah found it important to repeat, because Eliezer himself repeats the whole story before the family of Rivka, even though many fundamental laws are left over just for a Yalfuse, and not even mentioned explicitly. Now this points out the great emphasis that the Torah puts upon the vicissitudes of life. As Chazal call it, Voyo Ekev Tishmon, Dvorim Shodom Dosh Beik, the things that a person is inclined to step upon with his heel. These are the most important things in life. And Kedusha manifests itself primarily not in the unusual things of life, but in the vicissitudes of life, the things that confront a person, every person, throughout his life. Now, the first incident discussed in this sedra is the problem that confronted Avram in choosing a burial plot. This shows the uniqueness of the Torah and the attention paid by the Torah, by Jews, to a mess is really unique. Now the Umi Sa'ilam don't pay great attention to a mess. As a matter of fact, even among religious Christians, it is not unusual to cremate the corpse of a human being. And a great mind like Einstein instructed his son that upon his death his corpse be cremated. Now the Torah pays great tribute to the corpse of a human being. This tribute is based upon the concept of Bitzalem Elokim Bo'ezi, the image of God, in connection with the mess. It is not a matter of compassion, because the mess doesn't feel. Now, you know, the story, it is a historical fact of the great cynic, the ancient cynic, who instructed his disciples that upon his death they should leave his corpse upon the field. So his disciples asked him, if we leave your corpse upon the field, so the dogs will devour your corpse. So he said, then put a cane in my hands. So they asked, what will you be able to do with a cane after your death? So he said, if I'm unable to do anything after my death, so what difference does it make whether the dogs will devour my body or not? That was the point of view of the cynics. And of course, this point of view was based upon the notion that a human being is just like any other living organism, except that he has a higher degree of intelligence. He's a Homo sapiens, but he's just a member of the animal kingdom. Now, we don't pay great attention to the manner in which an animal is buried. As long as the remains of the animal are disposed of, how they are disposed of doesn't make any difference. But a human being is not a mere animal, he's not just a Homo sapiens. A human being, every individual human being, is unique. And the Sefer Hasidim says, Kol echod v'echod mi Yisrael, mi chuyov lehami, she'eilom bifnei atzmi, v'she'eish v'riyo achevet v'eilom kameyo, she'yomoi, hoi so yichoylo v'yiz v'riyo achevet kameyo lohoyo niro. Now, in regard to other animals, so each individual animal is just a member of a species. Every species has its purpose, of course. God created the various species in the world. But the individual members of a species have no purpose in life. They have no task to fulfill. If I see a certain insect creeping around on the floor, it is just a biological accident that this particular individual insect is living now. Not so with regard to men. It is not a mere biological accident that a certain person lives now and wasn't born before. It's not a historical accident. Everyone comes, every human being, Jew or non-Jew, comes into the world because he has a certain task to fulfill. And this we say in the Tefillah and in Kippur, Elokai Asher L'Nitzar Te'ei Nekedai. Oh God, the reason as to why I wasn't born until the year in which I was born is because I wasn't true to be born. Because if I had been born, let's say, the time of the Rambam, I wouldn't have been able to fulfill any task. The reason I was born in this generation is because in this generation, so even I can fulfill a certain task. And the reason as to why the Rambam was born in the 12th century is because the Rambam could not accomplish today what he accomplished then. And that applies to everybody. Every Jew, every non-Jew, every human being has a certain task to fulfill in life. And this is the gist of the concept of Hashgacha Pratis. When we say, "Ani ma'amin b'mune shleimo sha'adbeir yizbarach shmei yidei akol ma'atim yorob," so it doesn't mean only that God knows. Of course God knows. That comes within that comes within the first ikar. That there is a God. What does God mean? God does not mean an impersonal God. God means a mechanical God. God means one who is omniscient. One who knows everything. By knowing himself, he knows everything. But yidea means he loves men. He's interested in men. Ki yidati v'man asher yaves, bonav ez beisei achov. So you dat is? The Mephoshim says Loshin Chibo. That is an interest in men. An interest in the activities of men. Why does he take an interest in the activities of men? Because every person is unique. Every person has the potentiality to contribute something. Something that he is able to bring a contribution to the world so in such a way that it could not be fulfilled by anyone else. And the least intelligent person has something in him that could not be replaced by the greatest intellectual. Now, of course, this is based upon the concept of Bitzalem Elokim Boreisi, that every man is to have his own Tzalem, and through his own Tzalem to realize the Tzalem Elokim. Hence, the concept of respect that has to be accorded to the corpse of a human being. He has to be buried with respect and tribute. Every human being. Even Yehoshua. The Ramban says that the reason as to why Yehoshua had to take down the corpses of the Canaanite kings from the trees, because if he hadn't done that, he would have violated the law of Lesoliness and Nivlosi Alei. Because even those Rishoyim, those enemies of Israel, were still created in the image of God. This is the reason as to why the Torah tells in such detail the manner in which Abraham chose the burial plot for Sodom. And then there is something else that is involved in this incident. Chazal say, in reference to Yaakov, in regard to the pasuk of Orach HaSheikh HaValeo Lechot Nenu Zarah, Ha'oretz Ani Etim Lizaracho Vilvat Chehei Atokobu Shom. That was a tnai in the promise of God to give Eretz Yisrael to the descendants of the Oveis. And that was that the Oveis are to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Now, some of the modern Zionists have only contempt for the so-called Yishuv HaYoshen in Eretz Yisrael, the old Yishuv. And the reason for their contempt is that those Jews who emigrated from Europe more than 100 years ago were motivated primarily by a desire to die in Eretz Yisrael, rather than to live in Eretz Yisrael. The fact is that it is not true. The Talmidim of the Gro and of the Baal Shem were primarily motivated by a desire to live in Eretz Yisrael. But, assuming that they were motivated by a desire to die in Eretz Yisrael, their contribution toward the outbuilding of Eretz Yisrael cannot be underestimated. Because if it hadn't been for those Jews who emigrated from Europe into Eretz Yisrael under the most hazardous circumstances, risking malaria and other diseases, there wouldn't be any state of Israel. Now, Chaim Weizmann, in his book, mentions the movement of this Yaakov Lechu V'Neilcho as the first movement in the Chibasiyah movement, in the trend of Chibasiyah. He doesn't mention a word about the Talmid Agro, about the Talmid Baal Shem. The fact is that they were the first pioneers, and then they were the forerunners of the Chibasiyah movement, which preceded the Beis Yaakov Lechu V'Neilcho. And if it hadn't been for them, there wouldn't have been a Chivitziya movement, there wouldn't have been any Chalutzi movement, there wouldn't have been any Balfour Declaration, there wouldn't have been any State of Israel. The fact that the Oveis, the power Oveis, were buried in Eretz Yisrael, made Eretz Yisrael into an irresistible magnet, which drew Jews from all over the world to Eretz Yisrael. And if not for this fact, maybe many Jews would have divested themselves of all attachment to Erzfurth. This is the reason as to why Avrom was so particular about the burial plot that he chose for Sof. But the main incident in this week's Seder is not the incident of the burial plot for Sof, but rather the matrimony of Yitzhak. When one goes through the whole narrative mentioned in the Torah in connection with the Shidduch, so one readily sees that the Emunah in Hashgacha Pratis was the chief motive in the lives of the Ovis, and consequently in the lives of their descendants, because Ma'asei Ovis similarly bond. Now I want to discuss this incident in detail in connection with a certain Maimah Chazal. And the pasuk of Avrom zokin bo bayomim v'adishem birach et Avrom bakim. The Ramban indulges at length in this Maimah Chazal. When Avram became old, the Torah tells us, so he was blessed with everything. Chazal say, as to that pasuk, Basu Yisol Avram Avinu Ubakeu Shmo. This remark by our sages cannot be interpreted literally, as the Ramban point out. He says like this, Ramban. V'cholilu lehem sheyutziu birkotei shel Avrom sheyigdeilo ukolis l'inyan ze sheyeimah hakosuf ki berach yisi Hashem bibat achat sheshmokach. The bliss of Avrom consists in the fact that he had a daughter whose name was Bakal. There are so many human beings, contemporaries of Avrom, who had not one daughter, but many daughters. Well, maybe then the names of those daughters was not Bakal, so it was something else. But what difference does it make? What kind of a name they had? Avrachirim chichu beferush hakosuf hazeh, inyan omuk meyoit, vidorshu bozeh soiv misedei satero. Viyomru, ki bakoyu, tiyo moizalinyan godel. Now this Maimah Chazal, according to the Ramban, represents the approach of the Chazal towards matrimony. Vehu sheyesh b'hakadosh baruch hu nido tikroko. One of the attributes of God is kol. How do we know that? Vehu shenemar, there is a pasuk, yisrei meretz b'kolhu. The excess of the earth consists in kol. In everything. Ubo nemar ani Hashem eise kol. Ki yisrei noret. Vitevo hagodel ha-shefei al-kol boi ha-ilom ba-avo ki b'choyoi. The reason as to why our earth, this earthly existence is so wonderful, is because of kol. It abounds in everything. Ve-hi ha-mido ha-shminis. Meyidgimu midos, and it constitutes this midah of kol. Ani Hashem Moise kol constitutes the eighth midah of the Yudgimu midos. Now, what is the eighth midah of the Yudgimu midos? Hashem. There is a machlokes rishonim, but according to the Ramban, so the some rishonim say that the first Hashem is not counted among the Yudgimu midos. But the Ramban shite in Kisiso is that it is counted. So you have Hashem, twice Hashem is mentioned. So you have two midos. Keil, 3, Rachum, 4, Hanum, 5. Erech HaPayim now, Rabbi Nisim Shitei, that Erech HaPayim involves two midos, but Ramban Shitei is only one. So what is it? 6, Rav Chesed Vemes. So the Rav relates to the Chesed, as the Ebenezer points out, and also the Vemes. It means Rav Chesed v'Rav Vemes. Rav Emes. So, Rav Chesed, that's the seventh mida. Rav Emes is the eighth mida. So, Kolo is synonymous with Rav Emes. Rav Emes, Emes. What is Kolo to do with Emes? We'll soon see. We need a Cheres, Tikro Bas. And there's another mida that Netzelet Mimeno, that emanates from Emes. And that's called Bas. Why is there another mida that emanates? Because the mida is not just Emes, it's Rav Emes. Rav Emes. So the Rav that emanates from the mida of Emes. Ubol Maniketako. And with this mida, the Bas that emanates from Emes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu administers the world. V'hi bizdin shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the best din of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'hi shenikreis kalo b'sefer shir ha-shirim. And this middle is called kalo in shir ha-shirim. Ba'avo sheikulo min hakol. What does kalo mean? Composed of everything. That's hakol. Ba'kol. V'hi shechachomim mikramim shmo Knesset Yisrael. The expression Knesset. Yisrael is also derived from that. Knesset, in other words, everything is included there. Ba'avo shehi knisas hakol. Va'amidu azeh yisroiso la'avrom kibas. This midah was like kibas to Avrom. Ki hu yisha chesed v'yisnai bezu. Ulkach omru, achirim, te'ein habrocho azoi shenizbor ba'keyo rimedes al shehi mitbat misor ishtei. Ui shaloi helit, avol yirimedes inyon godeo. שברך יישא במידו שהיא בשיח מידת הכל ורוחם תקרא גם היא כרושם כשמי בקרבי ונזהו מקורך בשמיים ועוד God himself owns heaven and earth, so heaven and earth are contained in God who became each other. So Avram was blessed with that midah that he abounded in everything. ובכך אומר בד השם לכי השמיים ולכי הארץ. This is the reason as to why when he was mashbiah Eliezer to find a suitable spouse for Yitzchok, so he referred to God as Elikei Hashamayim v'Elikei Haaretz. Because when someone is to choose a spouse for his son, so he is to be motivated by the concept that God is a Lekei Hashamayim v'Lekei Haaretz, that heaven and earth are contained in God. Why does he have to be motivated at that moment by this concept? Because man is to emulate God, and he too is, as far as it is humanly possible, is to try to attain that degree of blessing so that he'll be able to abound in everything. Now this sounds very esoteric. Very mysterious. Now, what does it mean? First of all, he says, you didn't say anything yet. How was your phone?
Because I don't understand what's going on.
Oh, all right. So, the Ramban is saying that Bakol is synonymous with the eighth mide of Rav Emes, of Emes. Then the Rav emanates from Emes. So apparently, Bakol has to do with the concept of Emes. What does Emes mean? What does Emes mean? Now, the Torah mentions Chesed and Emes as both being attributes of God. The Midrash in Parsha Bereishis mentions that before God created the world, so he consulted the angels, and that those angels, the angels that represent the Midah of Emes, said that God should not create the world. Why? Because man is a Deirash God. Man does not embody in his soul the concept of Emes. However, the angel representing the middle of Chesed said God should create the world. Why? Because man is a game of Chesed. Man likes to help out his friends that are in need and distress and so on. Apparently, the middle of Chesed and the middle of Emes are antithetical to each other. One excludes and negates the other. Because chesed demanded that the world be created, and then it demanded that the world be not created. What did God do? So look at chesed emes v'yishlichei orto. Shenemar emes mi'eretz titzmocha. This is how the Rebbeinu Shalom resolved the conflict. The conflict. By taking emes and dropping it upon the earth, so that the emes will sprout forth from the earth. We thus see that there is a certain connection between the earth and emes. The Rambam mentions ki yisrein eretz bekeiru. And what bekeiru? Eis mide. What eis mide? Emes. So the distinction of this earth, or this earthly existence of ours, consists in the fact that the earth is typical of the concept of emes. Why the earth? Now this is a riot to the Rambam, but we have to understand what the Medrash means by emes me'aretz tismach. Now a definition of emes on an ideal level is given by the Rambam. It is obvious that when Chazal say that there was a conflict between Chesed and Emes, Chesed said the world should be created, Emes said no, the world should not be created. So the conflict took place only between the Chesed as it is popularly conceived and the Emes as it is popularly conceived. But on an ideal level, there is no conflict. One complements the other. We see in God. So it's Rav Chesed and Emes. The two are integrated. What is the definition of emes on an ideal level? The definition is given by the Rambam, the beginning of Hilchat Yesedah Hel. The Rambam says, at the very beginning, Yesedah Yesedah is Ramud HaPachmeis, Leida Sheyesha Motzer Rishen, Ve'umam Sikol Nimso, Ve'chol HaNimsoim Mishamayim Ro'oretz, Ve'nimso Elamim Tasimotzi. So, the fundamental notion that comes before anything else is the God notion, that there is a creator who created everything. And anything that exists, exists because of God. Vim yalo adas, shehu detamachadeis, shehu enimotu, endavachiochlimotis. Without the existence of God, nothing else can exist. It's impossible that anything should exist apart from the existence of God. Vim yalo adas, sheindavachalimso, but assuming that nothing else would exist, but who go according to? Kilema. Hein trich noi vein hu tzorich. Well, hu sha novi einia. This is the meaning of the expression used by the novi, adi shem melekim emes. She hu sha hakel trich noi vein hu tzorich lehem lefichach ein intas himotzom ki intas himotzom. Only God exists truthfully, but nothing else exists truthfully in an absolute sense. So what we see, that emes means that which exists because it exists. Now, let's say we have a chair here. Now this chair is made of wood. What made this chair exist? Because there are certain people who are engaged in the work of making chairs. So that's the cause. How did they make a chair? They procured wood. How did they get the wood? Well, they probably cut off some trees and they got the wood, they shaped it into a chair and so on. How did they get the tree? Somebody must have planted the tree. How did he come into existence? Well, he was born in the father and the mother, and so on. So, it's true that the chair exists, but does it exist because it exists? It exists because of a certain external cause that made it exist. And that other cause, again, exists because of certain causes. But you cannot ask the same question as to God. Why does God exist? Well, a child will ask such a question. So what is the answer? The answer? God exists because he exists. Because his essence implies existence. If his essence wouldn't imply existence, then he wouldn't be God. He's self-caused. So in other words, anything else other than God does not have any intrinsic validity and truthfulness. It exists because of certain reasons. But it doesn't have to exist. The chair doesn't exist. It exists. It's a fact. But God exists because God has to exist. His essence implies existence. So that's the meaning of Adishem Malikim Emes, the Rambam says. So Emes means that which has intrinsic validity. When we say Moshe Emes, Vitiyotzi Emes, what does it mean? So it means that the Torah, the commandments of the Torah are Emes. Why are they Emes? Because they are conducive to peace of mind as it is conceived from the point of view of pastoral psychiatry, and as it was mentioned by Rabbi Libman in the book Peace of Mind. Then, from that point of view, the Torah is not a mess. From the point of view that the commandments of the Torah, one should entertain religious feelings because it can give him peace of mind, from that point of view, it means Chatzishon Torah is Sheker. Not a mess. Then the Torah itself has no intrinsic validity. Something else is more important than that. The peace of mind that it can affect. No, but Moshe Emes, it's a Rossi Emes. So what does it mean? It's Emes. It has intrinsic validity. Why is there a love of Reis Yitzchak? Now everyone today will concede that murder, homicide, should be considered and treated as a crime. Why? Because if it is not considered as a crime, if a murderer is not apprehended by court and is not brought to justice, then there will be chaos in the world. No one will be able to live in peace. Reisignov, Reisachmod should be recognized. Why? Because there can't be any happiness. Happiness of the individual, happiness of the society. Unless these norms are recognized. But they are recognized by modern men not because of any intrinsic significance. No! Because if modern men had recognized that there is intrinsic validity in Reis Yitzchak, then it follows logically that he should apply the same standard of justice and righteousness in respect to states as he applies in respect to individuals. Now everyone admits that these norms have to be recognized in respect to individuals. An individual who commits murder, he kills one human being in the course of a burglary, so he has to be brought to justice. He has to be punished. But doesn't it follow logically that if a murder on a small scale, when committed by just one individual and against one individual, is to be condemned, when murder is committed on a large scale, committed by whole states, by armies, when an atomic bomb is dropped and 100,000 individuals, human beings, women and children, who have no share in the guilt, that they perish, certainly should be condemned. But no one condemns that, because that was committed by state, not by individual. So does that mean that Reis Yitzchak is recognized as a mess? No! Reis Yitzchak is recognized by modern men as Sheker. It has no intrinsic significance, but it should be condemned because if it's not condemned, if a murderer, an individual murderer is not punished and brought to justice, then there can't be any happiness. But when it's done by the state, then it is done for a reason, in order to establish justice in the world. Then it is done for the purpose. Then human beings are killed and butchered in order to preserve peace. So then it's a different matter. That shows that Reis Yitzchak is not recognized as a norm that has intrinsic significance, as the Torah recognizes it. Just as we say God exists because he exists, so we have to say, one should not commit murder because he shouldn't commit murder. That's all. Why? It is true that if it is not condemned, if a criminal is not punished, so it will lead to chaos. Of course it is true. But that doesn't mean that the only reason as to why it should be condemned is because abstaining from murder is conducive to happiness. It is a crime because it is a crime. 2 times 2 is 4. Why is 2 times 2 4? That's MS. Why? Because if we say 2 times 2 is 4, then the world will be wonderful. If we say 2 times 3 is 5, the world will not be wonderful. Follow. Why is there a law of gravitation that everybody is attracted toward the center of the earth? Why? Because by establishing such a law, so we'll be able to supply happiness to men? On the contrary, this law is the cause of all misery. when somebody walks in the street and then a stone falls down from a dilapidated building and they have to be taken in an ambulance, so it's not conducive to happiness. It's because of the law of gravitation. Every body above the earth is attracted to the center of the earth because it's attracted, that's all. God created the world that way. That was the will of God, and that's all. Why was the will of God that way? That was the will of God. 2 times 2 is 4 because it is 4, that's all. That's it! So, Moshe Emes, which Ose Emes implies that every commandment of the Torah is valid and sound, not because it will lead to certain results, but because it is Emes, that's all.
So, Rabbi, even the Torah, I mean, condones killing under certain conditions.
In case of a rabies.
In war also, I mean,
A war conducted, well, if it is a war to defend, I'm not talking about the war that was carried on against the Nazis, you see.
No,
I mean, there it was in self-defense of all of mankind. But I'm talking about other wars, so the Torah does not condone it. A Milchemes of Shus can only be conducted if it's Alpiyom Itumim. If it's not Alpiyom Itumim, it cannot be conducted. When God said to Abraham he should sacrifice Yitzhak on the altar, all right, so... sacrifice again from the point of view of Emes, because that was the will of God. That was the will of God, that's all. So it was Emes. Now, so Emes means something that has intrinsic significance. Intrinsic significance. So anything that exists in the world is not really Emes. It's Emes in a certain way, but it's not in an absolute sense Emes. Why? Because it does not have any necessary existence. It exists not because it exists, but for a certain reason. You can't say it had to exist. But God exists because God has to exist. The essence of God implies existence. That's a myth. Now, so one of the midas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and midas represent those attributes whereby Hashem administers the world. One of the midas is Emes. So that does not have reference to the essence of God himself. That wouldn't be called a midah. The fact that God's existence is Emes. Hashem like Emes. But because then it wouldn't be included in the midos. The midos include only those attributes whereby God administers the world. That means an attribute of God in his relationship, with men. That's what Midah means. If God is designated by the attribute of Rav Emes, so it means that one of the attributes of God is that he enables men to become imbibed with this Midah of Emes, God. Men is able to absorb this Midah of Emes. Emes in the sense of necessary existence. Emes in the sense of intrinsic validity. Men can imbibe the Emes in a human way. How can men imbibe that middle of Emes, necessary existence? Well, the answer is very simple. As I said, that the birth of a human being, of any human being, is not a biological or historical accident. Every human being comes into the world because of a certain task that he has to fulfill. So that means, why was a certain man born a certain year? He had to be born. In the infinite wisdom of God, that had to take place. In other words, there is a necessary existence attaching to man. It's not a historical accident. But, the reason as to why I wasn't born until this generation in which I exist is because in some other generation I wouldn't have been able to fulfill my peculiar task. I wouldn't be able to assert my own talent in a perfect way, the way I'm able to do now, is because any could die. In another generation I was not qualified to do that. But the Ashokshinitati, now that I was born in this generation, I was born in order to fulfill a certain task, in order to assert my own talent, a talent that could not be realized by anyone in the world. No one. I have a low IQ, somebody else has a very high IQ, but there is a certain task that could be fulfilled by me and not by anyone else. So all would be well if a person dedicated himself to the tasks that he has to fulfill. But the fact is that most individuals don't worry about the tasks that they have to fulfill in life. So So it is if I didn't, I was as if I hadn't been born. My talent was not assessed in the proper way. That means I did not saturate myself with the middle of MS. That God, in his kindness, is willing to bestow upon men. My existence does not partake of that infinite existence of MS, of necessary existence, of an existence that has intrinsic validity. I deport myself as if I'd been a member of a species. As if I had come to the world due to a biological accident. The Ornithar. But man is able to imbibe within him a spark of that infinite MS by identifying himself with divinity, with God. That's the concept of Vidusha, dedicating himself to God.
So,
MS means that which has intrinsic significance, intrinsic validity, that which has necessary existence. And Yisrael Eretz Bekel Yu. But from this middle of MS emanates another meaning, and that's called Bas, Rav. Emes, Rav Chesed, Rav Emes. What does Rav mean? Rav means an abundance. There's an abundance of Emes. The expression abundance of Emes implies that it is composed of multifarious things. When you say it abounds in many things, Arishem Be'erchat Avrom Bakeyo, the blessing of Avrom abounded in many things. In other words, it consisted of multifarious things. There is not one factor in this earthly existence. There is more than one factor. And the numerous and multifarious forces on earth can establish a certain equilibrium in life so that the balance of all these forces will represent Emes. This is what the Pasuk says. The Yisroim Eretz, Ani Adishem Meisekoil, Vushenema, Yisrael Eretz Bakil. Why is this earthly existence of ours so wonderful? And according to Yadus, it is the sublimest existence that one can conceive. Yofo Shoach, Shotoiro Masim Tevin, Beiro Maze, Mikol Amaro. One hour of Toiro Masim Tevin in this world, this earthly world, in this mundane existence, is more sublime than all of Olam Haba. Why? Why is this earthly existence so sublime? Yisrael Noretz Bakeli. Because man is composed of body and spirit. Because man is driven by certain instincts. Instincts which can make him think so that he'll be engulfed by the abyss. But at the same time, man also has certain spiritual aspirations that can lift him above, so that he'll soar above all these inclinations. And men can so sublimate the instinct that the same instincts that are the source of all evil can become the source of Gdusha. I mentioned last year that one would expect the Sefer HaGdusha of the Rambam to deal with the mitzvah of Mesiras Nefesh, of Avat Hashem, Yirat Hashem, spiritual matters. So the Rambam deals with Avat Hashem, Yirat Hashem, Melechet Yisrael HaTorah. And in Sefer HaGdusha he deals with Macholas Asuras Nisurabi. Why? Because these are matters that are common to all animals. So Dafke, in these matters that are common to all animals, Gdusha manifests itself in the most sublime way. Why? Because Yisrael Meretz Bakoyu. The sublimity of the mundane existence of men consists in fact that men's existence is composed of numerous and multifarious forces that can be integrated into one entity. How can they be integrated into one entity, into one sublime entity, by dedicating himself to God? That Yisrael Eretz, and by dedicating himself to God, then he will imbibe a spark of the emes, of the infinite emes of God, of necessary existence. His existence will partake of that necessary existence. It will have meaning. It will have intrinsic significance. V'teivu ha-godeil ha-she seyal kol bo eilom ga'avu ki b'chori. Now, how can you integrate those numerous and multifarious forces? By imposing restraints upon the proportion of each. By establishing an equilibrium between the various forces. That's bas. Bas means dora, and bas also means a measure. Bas in Hebrew means a measure. So, God blessed Abraham with everything. What does it mean with everything? It doesn't matter what Abraham possessed. Now, I didn't quote the whole Medrash, but actually there is a Machlekes, the Ramban quotes the whole Medrash. There is an apparent Machlekes between Rameyer and Rabbi Yehuda and the Acherim. I say apparent because the Ramban explains it in such a way that there is no Machlekes, one only complements the other. Rameyer says, V'adishem birach et Avrom bakeil, bakeil, as Rashi cited, bakeil ila b'gematria ben. So bakeil means that he had a son, not a daughter. Second, it Rameyah, the blessing, the brach of Avrom consists in the fact that he didn't have a daughter. He only had a son. That's Rameyah. Rabbi Yehuda says, so in the Medrash, Rameyah says it in so many words. Rashi apparently did not want to quote that. Rameyah, Rameyah, Adeshem Be'at Avram Bekeil Reb Meir Emeh Shaloh Hoi Soi Bas. Rashi was afraid, you see. Because it might be Rashi anticipated that if he cites the whole Medrash Shaloh Hoi Soi Bas, then it might be stricken out by the conservative rabbis. Because that would reflect upon the approach that Orthodoxy has towards the woman. So, but Reb Meir actually says, Shalom Hoysoloi Bas. Reb Yehuda Meir Bas Hoysoloi. Bas Hoysoloi, on the contrary. But the brocha consisted in the fact that he had a daughter. Achirim Emrim, Bas Hoysoloi Batol Shmo. Now, of course, apparently, on the surface it appears there is a Simon Domas. One says that the brocha consisted in the fact that he didn't have a daughter. One says the brocha consisted in the fact that he had a daughter. And one said, the fact that he had a daughter, that's not enough. He had a daughter whose name was Bakal. That's the important thing. So what does it mean? Now the Ramban does not explain what Reb Meir means and what Reb Yehuda means. Now, but with this Ramban we can very well understand what Reb Meir meant. Now the Torah says that Avram was blessed. Avram was a very fortunate person. But I don't think that anyone today who would be overtaken by so much Yisurim, so much suffering as Avram was, would consider himself as a fortunate person. Now, Yitzchak was only born when Avram was 100 years old. So that means that Avram lived a long life without having Yitzchak. And even when Yishmael was born, so Avram wasn't so young. Then, after all the tests that Avram had gone through, with all the suffering that overtook him, so Avram was blessed with a son. And even when Avram was blessed with a son, so he was overtaken by a lot of grief. When Sarah told him to oust Hagar and Ishmael, Avram felt very aggrieved. He had to do it because God told him to do it. But it wasn't easy for him to house the son and the wife. So the lot of Avram wasn't such an easy one. Still the Torah tells us, Avram zokim bo bayomim vadishem birchat Avram bakeil. Bakayo, you've blessed with everything, as if he had been the most fortunate person. After all the suffering they'd gone through, he was blessed with everything. How is it with everything? Other human beings who did not dedicate themselves to God were blessed with many more things, were blessed with many children without any trouble and without any commitment on their part. So why does the Torah say Radishem Birch has Avram Bakel? The answer is true, there are other individuals who were blessed with many more things, material things, but the broches of the other individuals did not partake of MS. It did not have the spark of necessary existence. The existence of those other individuals who had many children and were happy through their life was like the happiness of an animal. An animal is very happy. But its existence is not a necessary existence. It has no purpose in life. It's only a biological accident. The same was true of the mundane existence of those other individuals who were blessed with many more children and with more wealth and without the sacrifices that Avraham had to offer. It was just biological accident. That's all. But Avraham, Hashem berach es Avraham bakeil. The bracha of Avraham partook of the emes. Shachavish Boruch Hu, of necessary existence. Every day in Avraham's life had meaning and significance. Avraham Zokin Bo Bayomim. What does it mean, Avraham Zokin Bo Bayomim? What does it mean, Avraham Zokin Bo Bayomim? Avraham became old. He came. He entered with his days. He was carrying his days in his hands, and he came in. The whole bundle of the days with him. What does it mean? Because actually, the Torah says, in reference to men, that the days that a person lives disappear with the gradual existence of the man. On the day that you will partake of the eight of the art and you allow yourself to be swayed by your instincts, by that which appeals to your senses, so you start dying. Moistomus doesn't mean tomus. Moistomus. Now the question arises, but Adam and Chava did not die on the day that they partook of the Sadah, they lived so many, 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 many years. After that. So the Ezra says that the meaning of moistomus is not that you will die. The process of dying will commence on the day that you will partake of the Sadah. Because until men partook of this Adas, so every day that he lived was a day that remains in his life. But as soon as he partook of this Adas, so there was no integration between one day and another. When a day expired, so that day was detached from his existence. It was a day died, a day that faded away, may stop. Now, last year I mentioned the quotation from Reb Yedaya, Mifchar Pnimi, that Ha'ovar Ayin Ve'arotid Adayin Va'ahil Ve'kehref Ayin Imkein Ho'odom Ayin. The Ovar, that's already passed, that doesn't exist. That already passed into oblivion. It doesn't exist anymore, the Ovar. And the Ofid does not exist as yet. So the only thing that remains for a person is what? Is the Ofid. I mean the Heve. But the Heve is clarified. Here you have it and then it's already passed. So then, man has nothing to live for. In Kein Odom Ayin. Or Meisa or Odom Min Abeima Oy. There's nothing to exist for. That was the tragedy of man as a result of the fall of man. Of partaking of the Sadas as a result of man's inclination to be swayed by the instincts. So then there is no, a split was established between the Ovar and the Ofid and the Heve. But men can soar above these this quantitative distinction of Ossid, Haven, and Ova, and he can integrate all the two, all the three into one entity. But if he doesn't integrate all the three into one entity, then it's Moistomus. Man doesn't live. He constantly dies. As a year expired, so that means 1 year of his existence has already faded away. Another year expires, another year has faded away, and so on and so forth. But Avrom integrated his days. So Avrom Zokein, Avrom became old. Vodayonim, he had all his days with him. The Ovar and the Heva and the Otik, he had one bundle. Vodayonim. So therefore, in spite of all the suffering that overtook him, in spite of all the misyanets, it was Hashem Birach Avrom Bakoel. He was able to absorb more than a spark of the infinite, necessary existence of the Almighty. So it was Bakoel. But this capacity of absorbing the infinite existence of God by dedicating oneself to God can only apply to men. To men in this mundane existence of his. Why? Because Yisrein Eretz Bakalu, because of the numerous and multifarious and conflicting forces that rage within men. Man is able to integrate all these forces into such an entity so that he will fulfill the function and the task that has been reserved for him. So this is done by placing restraints and limits upon each factor in life. The Torah does not deny to the Jew the joys of life. Man is to partake of the joys of life, but he is to place limits upon each factor in the mundane existence of the earth. So that's the middle of Bas, that is Netzeles, that emanates from the emes of God. How can men, a human being consisting of flesh and blood, absorb the necessary existence of God? This is so alien to man's existence. Well, the answer is through this bath, through this measure, through the restraint that man is to impose upon the various factors in life. Now, the Torah tells us the exact measures. How much is to be allotted to each factor in life? Now, this is called bas. The term bas means a dollar, and it means a measure. There is an affinity between these two meanings, because the woman represents the tendency towards restraint more than men. Men, psychologically, represents unlimited energy. Men, the average men, does not know of any restraint. A woman, on the contrary, knows of restraint. And Chazal say that Kol mi sheinei otz l'isho shor b'lei brocho v'yachini nikro odom. Why? Because without a woman, so he cannot be restrained in his unlimited potential of energy. So it is the woman that brings order into his life. That's why the same term that is applied to a woman, bas, is also applied to a measure. And that's why the Rambam says a bride is called kalo, she kula hakel, because the kalo knows how to integrate the various forces in human nature, and she can integrate those forces in the nature of men. Because the uniqueness of the Jewish Weltanschauung consists in the fact that Yadus is dedicated to the concept of Mizuka Midos. Mizukamidos, what does Mizukamidos mean? What is Mizukamidos? Mizukamidos means the integration of the various forces. Now, the taken approach was the new statement. That represents the chief good. Paganism consists in the idea that man is to indulge in his instincts. That's why ancient paganism was identical with lust and moral degeneration, because that was the main notion of paganism, that indulgence of the instincts constitutes the chief good. Then the Christians came along with the reverse idea, that the instincts are the source of all evil, and that the concept of original sin, man is evil, he can't help it. That led to all the hypocrisy that inheres in the Christian faith. But the others he dedicated to idea, the instincts are not evil in themselves, they can become the source of all evil too. But at the same time, they can be sublimated and become the source of all good. It's Knesset Yisrael, Shekol Be'ach. The various forces within the world can be integrated and sublimated in such a way that they will constitute the most sublime existence that there is. The Yisrei Meretz Bekeil. So, this is what Reb Meir says, and this is what Reb Yehuda says. Reb Meir says, in spite of the fact that Avram was blessed only with one son, because Yishmael was not really his son, because Yitzchak Yikol HaZara, he was still blessed more than anyone else, because it was Bateil. He dedicated himself to God, and consequently he absorbed the necessary existence of God, the intrinsic significance that there is in an existence dedicated to God. So it was Be'eret Avraham Bateil, and then Reb Yehuda says, he didn't have a daughter, because if Avraham had a daughter, then there would be a problem, because you see, Avraham was confronted with a very serious problem in connection with Yitzchak. The only woman that was suitable for Yitzchak was Rivka, and Rivka was also the same family. Which family? The family of Nochea. Now, that family of Nochea was able to produce wonderful women, but not wonderful men. Because the men in that family were not so wonderful. Now, you see, all the women, all the Emois, descended from Nochea. From Hor. Now, there were three brothers, Terech had three sons. He had Avraham, Nochea, and Horn. Now, Avraham and Nochea both married daughters of Horn. So Horn supplied the daughters. And then, from these women, descended all the Emois. And when Avraham had to find a suitable spouse for Yitzchak, he couldn't find that spouse in any place except in that home. Now, why only in that home? And it's a remarkable thing that the home that in Beis Horon, so the women were wonderful, the men not. Apparently, Horon lacked a certain quality that is indispensable for nobility of character in men, but it is good enough for the ability in character in women. Now, what was that quality? Now, Chazal tells us about Horn, that when Avraham risked his life in the Kifshan Eish, so when Horn was observing him, and he said, if Avraham is burned, then I'll bow to life. But if he comes out alive, then I'll do the same thing. And Avraham came out alive, so he decided to do the same thing. And he was thrown into the Kishon Eish. And you know what happened to him? He perished. Now, what does Chazal mean? Chazal mean that actually Horon was also had a tendency Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. But he was hesitant. He was hesitant. He did not have the strength, the gvura, the midas gvura he lacked. To fight. Avrom had the audacity to fight the whole world. Horn lacked it. And men, in order to progress ethically and spiritually, must have the middle of war to be able to fight the whole world, to counteract the environment. It is not necessary, this is not an essential quality in a woman. So the daughters of Beis Horn were suitable spouses for the Beis Avrom, for the men in Beis Avrom. Because Beis Horn had all those qualities that Avrom had, except for the quality of Gvura. Now that was, we'll see that in connection with Rivka and in her relationship with Yaakov and Esau. What was the purpose? What was the purpose of Rivka's device? It wasn't just that Yitzchok wanted to attain that sublime goal of providing Yitzchok with certain matanim. She could have provided him with all the matanim in the world without resorting to this trickery. Well, the purpose that Rivka had in mind was to endow Yaakov with the Midas HaGvura, because Yaakov did not have the Midas HaGvura as an innate quality in him. It had to be established with him. It had to be implanted within his soul. Now, so the Beis Horon had all the essential qualities for nobility that are conducive for nobility of character, except one, and that is Gvura, the quality of putting up a fight, of counteracting the whole environment. As Chazal say, Avrom Ivri, Shekolo Eilom Meiver Echod, V'Avrom Meiver Hashem. This is what Chazal mean by Noshim Dait and Kalis. Chazal did not, Chas V'Sholem, intend to express contempt for the woman. But they said, Noshim Dait and Kalis, that a woman naturally lacks that quality of Midas HaGvura. And if she didn't lack it, she wouldn't be a woman. That's an essential quality of womanhood. That's what Noshim Dayton Kalis means. So for Yitzchok, Avram was able to find a suitable spouse by sending Eliezer to the Beis Horon. But if Avram had a daughter, then whom could he find as a spouse for his daughter? Whom? So Rav Meir says, Vadishem Berad Avrom Bakel, the reason is why Avrom was able to bring up the whole household in the way he did is because he didn't have a daughter. But if he had a daughter, the daughter could not have been brought up in the same spirit, because he would not have been able to find a suitable spouse for the daughter. Then Rav Yudah says, no, even if he had a daughter, Avrom would still be blessed by Caleb. So the Achirim come and say, why? Because regardless what overtook Avrom, whether he had sons or he had daughters, or even if he didn't have either, he still would be blessed by Caleb. Why? Because Batu Yisrael Avrom Avinu Bakel Shmo. Avrom had the capacity of integrating the numerous forces in the human existence in such a way that it would partake of the necessary existence of the Almighty. That's the Bakal. Yes?
What in a daughter marry Nochah's son?
What?
Nochah's third daughter's son.
Well, how about Nochah's son? I mean,
the... You said they had a gore, it's like Avram.
I said about Avram, I didn't say about anything about Nochah. I said the Torah. You see, it isn't mentioned that Nochah volunteered to throw himself into the Kifshin Eish. Only Horon. Horon had the tendency toward Avat Hashem. But he led the group. He couldn't counteract the whole environment that Avram did.
Why couldn't she marry?
What?
If she was from a different...
All right.
And if he had a daughter, then it would be the joke who knows what joke.
That's right. That's right. All right. Now, this is what he says. This is what he says. Avohiri medes, Indian Godel, שדרך זה במידו של אויש שהיא בשי יחמיד הסקל, ולא חיים תיקחו גם היא כלא שאין כשמי בקרבי, ונהו מקורה בשמיים ועוד. Heavens and earth are contained in God, so men can also attain that middle of containing heaven and earth. That means the integration of all the forces that in here in the world. And now, when Avram had to find a suitable spouse for Yitzchak, so then he referred to God as Lekei Hashamayim Velekei Haaretz. Why? So the Rambam says, because in order to attain that madriga of integrating the numerous forces in the human existence, when he embarks upon the endeavor to choose a spouse, he must be motivated by that concept of God. Now this explains why Avram was so concerned with the choice of his spouse. I don't think that the approach of Avram would coincide with the approach adopted by men today, even with the approach adopted by yeshiva boys. Now, at first blush, the approach of Avram, of relying upon Eliezer's nichush, shocks us, because after all it seems that Eliezer left everything to be determined by mere chance. Because how did he try to foretell whether God had appointed the proper spouse for Yitzchak by means of a portent, of an omen? If a girl will come over and he'll say to her, "Now give me a drink," and the girl will respond, "Here there is a drink for you, and I'll give water to the camels as well," so that will indicate that this is the girl, that the spouse that appointed for Avram, for Yitzchak. Now what does it mean? Now the Gemara says, "Zechul kol nichol she'ein eki nichol she'alezer eved Avram ein nichol." So the Ram says that it doesn't mean that in nichush that this comes within the prohibition of the love of Lesenachshu, because if it came within the prohibition of the love of Lesenachshu, then he would not have relied upon it. Avram would not have relied upon it. But what they mean is that kol nichush she'ein eki nichush she'alezer eved Avram should not be relied upon. There is a distinction needs to be drawn between a nichush that is forbidden and which is of course unreliable, and the nichush like the nichush of Eliezer, which is reliable. Now what is the criterion whereby we distinguish between a nichush that is reliable and does not involve any violation of the rabbi in Achshu, and the nichush that is unreliable and does come within the prohibition of in Achshu? So the criterion is this: if there is no logical connection between the matter involved and the nichush, in other words, if it's based completely upon superstition, then of course it's unreliable and it comes within the prohibition of lishon hara. For example, if somebody is walking towards his business and on the way he meets a black cat and he decides to return, there is no logical connection between success or failure in business and the black cat. It's based only upon superstition. A person should not rely on that. And if he does rely, so he's either off. But if it's based upon logic, then it doesn't come within the prohibition. The Nichush of Eliezer, says the Ranachun, was based upon logic. Now, the Ram does not discuss the logic that was involved in Eliezer's nichush at length, but that can be detected very readily. Now, Avram said to Eliezer, "Vashbiachov adishem alikei ha'shamayim alikei oretz אשר מסיק אחי של בני מבני זקנני, אשר עוני חיי של בקר. כי אמרתי ואומרתי תלך ולקחת אי של בני ליצחק. That was Avram's approach. In other words, Yitzchok, Avram decided that Yitzchok is not going to get married with 18, but Yitzchok is going to get married with Ishak. Now, why didn't Avram resort to the ordinary method that is pursued matrimony? Why? So, Avram mentioned the reason. כי אמרתי ואומרתי תלך ולקחת איש או לבני ליצחוק. Avram wanted Yitzchok to choose that kind of a spouse so that she will represent the element of restraint in his life. She'll be a coward. So he told her that he should choose a woman that will be suitable for his son and also be suitable for Yitzchok. Now what does that mean, lebni Yitzchok? Doesn't everyone know that Yitzchok was his son? And the Torah does not contain even one superfluous letter. Why did Avram have to emphasize the Lekachto Yisho Livni Yitzchok? He could have said Lekachto Yisho Yitzchok. Well, he couldn't have said Lekachto Yisho Livni because maybe Eliezer would make the mistake that he had Yishmael, even though Yishmael had already been married for a long time. But he could have said Lekachto Yisho Yitzchok. Why did he have to say Lekachto Yisho Livni Yitzchok? Apparently, Avram was motivated by two considerations. First of all, he had to find a girl that was suitable for Yitzchok as a son of the base Avram, Livni. Someone that would be fit to become a daughter of Avram. Someone that would fit into the pattern of Avram's home. The pattern that consisted primarily of chesed. Ki datis v'man sheitzav is one of the basic achor v'shom udar Hashem ratis doko umish. That was the pattern of Avram. This is implied in the expression v'lokachto yishol livni. But he also said v'yitzchok. Because the husband and wife, each of them might be wonderful. And each one of them might have a wonderful character. And still, the marriage between the two might prove to be a failure. Why? Because the woman, who by herself is wonderful, might not be the suitable spouse to fit this particular man. So in addition to choosing an Isha that will be suitable to Yitzchok as the son of the house of Avram, a woman who will fit into the pattern of Beis Avram, a woman who will be motivated by the concept of chesed, he also had to find a woman who will be adapted to the peculiarities of Yitzchok, so that she would be able to suit Yitzchok's individual talent. Because Yitzchok, apart from being a son of Avram, had his own talent. So therefore he said, "Lekachto Yisho Livni Yitzchok." Now, Avram had to resort to this approach. Why did he have to resort to this approach? One of the many girls in Eretz Kanaan. And it seems, that in Eretz Kanaan they were more homes of people that believe in God than in the Eretz Miladitei Shel Avram. Because Avram and Sarah were Megayer, Anoshim and Noshim. So in Eretz Kanaan there were thousands, Le'alofim or Le'revovis, the Rambam says, were converted in Eretz Kanaan. They were captivated by the personality of Avram and they became converted. So they believed in God. Whereas in the Eretz, in Eretz Horon, they were idol worshippers. More than Eretz Kanaan. So why did Avram send There he is, there, up there, the column. If he didn't want to choose a daughter of an idol worshipper, so he could have found her more readily in Eretz Klan. Telling in Eretz Klan. So this question is raised by the Akedah. And the Akedah says that too, Avram could have found many homes in Eretz Klan, where the heads of the houses had been Evdei Hashem. But idolatry in itself is only an intellectual error. So Avram was not afraid of this intellectual error to which the daughters of Eretz Horon might be subjected to. Avram knew very well that if a girl will come into the house, into his house, she will cure herself very quickly of this intellectual error. But in Eretz Knaan, so the idolatry led to a full moral degeneration, so that it became part and parcel of their nature. That is something that is very difficult to cure. So he didn't want Yitzchak to choose his spouse from Eretz Knaan. True, Yitzchak could have found a girl who was not an idol worshipper and whose father was not an idol worshipper. Eshkei, Ronei, or Mamrei, they're not idol worshippers. But Avram wanted to Yitzchak's spouse to be of the same heredity as his own house. Now, the Gemara says, Avoyim Yoyim Kredim Yitzirat Avad Bas Kol Yitzis Veimrim Bas Plain Veplain 4 days before the Yitzirat Avad. Now that means, I mentioned it last year, that does not mean that a person is not free to choose a spouse. That would be contrary to the concept of Prior Hosh. Now, matrimony is a mitzvah, like any other mitzvah, and consequently it has to come within the free choice of a person. HaKobidei Shamayim Chutz Miyir HaShamayim. So how could Providence determine the choice of a spouse? The answer is that the Baskol does not compel any human being to marry a certain girl. But the Baskol merely proclaims who is the suitable spouse for a certain man. Every man has a suitable spouse, but the Baskol does not compel him to make the choice. The Providence will only manipulate the vicissitudes of life in such a way that he will be afforded the opportunity to meet this suitable spouse. But then it is up to men to make the choice. And even if he meets the suitable spouse, so he can decide whether he is to marry her or not. This is what Basuitz, and this is what Chazal mean. Avoyim Shonok in Tzirat Avrat, Bas Kol Yitzirin and Bas Kol Yitzirin. Now, why do Chazal say, Avoyim Yeim Kedim Yitzirat Avrat? Why do Chazal say that? Why Avoyim? Why only 40 days? Why 40? Why not 30? Why not 20? Why 40 days? Now, 40 is not a usual number. Well, the answer is because the concept of Hashgacha Pratis, which applies not only to matrimony, it applies to all the vicissitudes of life. Now, everything is guided by Hashem. But then you can ask, if everything is guided by Hashem, then there is no Prior Chofshis. How can we reconcile the concept of Prior Chofshis with the concept of Hashgacha Pratis? How can we? The answer is, Hashgacha Pratis does not say that everything is determined. Hashgacha Pratis only means that God guides men. Providence guides men throughout the vicissitudes of life. It guides them. But it's up to men to choose the proper course. Providence manipulates the vicissitudes of life in such a way that men should be able to choose the proper course. But men is free to choose a different course. The providence of God operates within the framework of the natural processes. Now let's say, if Baskol is Yetzis, Aboyim Yem Chirim Yetzirat Havat, so it means Providence will manipulate the circumstances and the facts of life so that a certain man will meet, will be afforded the opportunity to meet the suitable spouse. But he might decide not to choose this particular spouse. And then, if he marries someone else, the one that is not the suitable spouse, so the marriage will be a failure, will not be a success. But he is free. Providence will only manipulate the circumstances. How will God manipulate the circumstances? Very simple. You see that, I mean, in the lives of some of the former students of the yeshiva, a certain girl, let's say, was born in Wichita, Kansas. A boy was born in Dallas, Texas. And he was born in a home that is removed from Yadus. They don't know about Shabbat, they don't know about Kashrus, they don't know about anything. The parents don't even go to a Reform temple in Kippur. But then, this boy conjures up a very queer idea. He meets a boy in the street and he hears that that boy has a friend who goes to yeshiva. The yeshiva known by queer name, Yeshiva University. So then he comes home with this queer idea to his parents. He also wants to go to Yeshiva University. Yeshiva University is the most wonderful university there is. And they'll bring liars. College ball, other things. I mean, so. And then the father and mother, they think that this boy just is off his mind, but what can they do with him? They send him to New York. And there, a similar story takes place in connection with the girl in Wichita, Kansas. And she decides she'll study in Stern College. So then they meet. But that doesn't mean that if he meets her, that he'll marry her, then it's up to him to decide whether he should marry her or not. So she has something to say. So the Baskel doesn't say, that he must marry a certain girl, but the Baskel merely proclaims who is the suitable spouse. And then he marries that spouse or not. He can marry someone else. He can marry, if he's a king, he can marry a Grusha. But that's proclaimed by God that he should marry a Grusha? Of course not. But it only means that he married something that is not suitable for him. And even if he doesn't marry Grusha, it doesn't mean that he married a suitable spouse. So it's up to him to decide. So many free within the pattern work of natural processes to choose the suitable spouse. And Avraham felt that only Horn he'll be able to choose the suitable spouse. Now, why? What does Chazal mean? Aboim yeim. Why aboim? The answer is very simple. That the choice of the suitable spouse is to be determined by on the basis of certain natural criteria. Why aboim? The Gemara says in Nideh that when do we say that if a woman has a miscarriage, so she's in Tamilide, she has to count 14 days, maybe it was in a Kavo, only if the Vrad is already 40 days old. But Kaidim Avoyim Yeim, so it's Kemal Baum. He's not considered as a Vrad. Al Pidin, a Vrad is considered as a Nefesh. There is no Chiyuv Mise if somebody kills a Vrad before 48 years Reishe, but he's considered as a Nefesh and there is a Nisar Yitzich. But when is he considered as a Nefesh, as a Vrad? After 40 days. But prior to 40 days as of conception, so he's not considered the Vlad. So Yitzirat Avlad commences when? At 40 days after conception. Prior to that, it's Kemaya Baalme. He's not the Vlad, Alpidin. Biologically he is, but Alpidin is not considered as the Vlad. So Avoyim Yim Kedem Yitzirat Avlad means what? At conception. That means that the suitability of a certain spouse is determined by providence on the basis of the heredity of the spouse. Providence determines who is the suitable spouse for whom on the basis of the heredity. And when is the heredity determined? At conception the heredity determined. This is why Chazal say, Avoyim Yeim Kedem Yitzirat Avlad, Baskol Yitzei Zeme. So Avraham wanted to be sure that Yitzchak will get a suitable spouse, so by advising Yitzchak to resort to the approach of dating, he wouldn't get a suitable spouse. He wouldn't get a suitable spouse on the basis of either consideration, on the basis of the consideration of Lekach Yishol with me, or on the basis of the consideration of Lekach Yishol with Yitzchak. Why? Because Avraham wanted Yitzchak to lead a life such that it will represent the MS, necessary existence, an existence that is not analogous to a mere biological or historical accident in life, but an existence that reflects the necessary existence of Almighty God, existence with a purpose, existence in which all the numerous and multifarious forces inhering in mundane existence will be integrated into one entity. So, he knew very well of the truth of Sheker HaChein V'Hevel HaYefi. Now, what does it mean, Sheker HaChein V'Hevel HaYefi? Again, it must be interpreted in line with the definition of emes given by the Rambam in Hilchas Yesod HaTorah. What does it mean, Sheker? Sheker doesn't mean, is not limited only to something that does not exist. There is such a thing as Chein. Shoma doesn't mean to say that there is no such thing as Chein. The answer is there is difference, there is a distinction between emes and Nochein. The Torah says, if two Eidim come and testify that a person committed a certain crime, so Bezdin has to inquire and to investigate the matter. And if they determine, they establish with the utmost certainty that emes nochein adoro, then they can render a decision. So Torah says emes nochein adoro. Now, what does it mean emes nochein adoro? What's the distinction between emes and nochein? What is the distinction? Isn't it the same thing? Emes means true. Nochein means correct. There is a distinction between emes and nochein adoro. Now, suppose two Eidim come and testify that Reuben killed Shimon. Killed Shimon. And this in this day, and this hour, and this in this place. And then it turns out that Reuben Velaya, he didn't kill Shimon. So that's Loi Nochon. It's Loi Nochon. It's incorrect. It wasn't correct. It wasn't so. But suppose two Eidim come and say, Reuben killed Shimon. And this in this day, and this in this hour. Then it turns out that everything they said was true, was correct. He killed on this and this day, and this and this hour, as they said. They did not say one word which was not correct. But there is one incident that they failed to mention. And that is true, Reuven killed Shimon, but Shimon was ready, was chasing after Reuven, trying to kill him. He was the aggressor. And Reuven, as a last resort, killed Shimon in order to save his life. They did not say that there was no element of self-defense. They just didn't mention it. They failed to mention it. Everything they said was nochal, was correct. Was correct. But was it emes? It wasn't emes. Why wasn't emes? That's according to the Rambam's definition. Emes is that which has intrinsic significance. Something might be correct, but it has no bearing. It has no intrinsic significance. It has no validity. It's not important. It's correct. It's true that Reuven killed Shimon, but under what circumstances he killed Shimon? Under circumstances of self-defense? So does the killing have any significance of guilt? Does it have any bearing on guilt? No! It's nahon. The facts that is testified is nahon, but it's not emes. Because emes is to be taken in the sense of something that has intrinsic significance. When does the fact of killing a human being have intrinsic significance and bearing upon the guilt of the part of the killer? Only if he did not kill, if he killed under circumstances that did not involve any self-defense. So, under such circumstances, so the killing, which took place exactly the way the witnesses testified, did not have any validity, did not have any intrinsic significance. Therefore, it was not emes. Shlomo says, Sheker HaChein, the Hevel HaYefi. He doesn't mean Sheker, there is no such thing as Chein. There is such a thing as Chein. There is such a thing as Chein. But it's Sheker. Sheker means just the opposite of emes. It might be no Chein, but might be Sheker at the same time. It has no significance. And Hevel HaYefi. The value of Yefi, my crest only, as there is an expression in Yiddish, from Estatonis to Purim, you see. So he'll be enamored and captivated just for one day. And then it'll fade away. Sheker HaChein, there is such a thing, but the Sheker, it has no intrinsic significance. What has intrinsic significance? In the choice of his spouse, Yisho Yiras HaDishem, he tisawo. What do you mean tisawo? So because that is something lasting. So, here to decide, Brokachto Yishil Vil Yitzchok. No, Avram was not a fanatic, Hasisholem Avram. Avram knew very well what all the psychiatrists, what modern psychiatrists know. That the husband might be a wonderful person and the woman might be a wonderful person, each one by himself and by herself, but the match between them is like bringing together fire and water. One will extinguish the other. That's why he said, with me. First of all, you must make sure that the general character of the person is of such nature that it will fit into the pattern of this Avram. You must choose a girl who is qualified to be daughter of Avram with me. But that's not enough. She might be wonderful, she might be motivated by chesed, but she might not be suitable for Yitzchak. You also have to determine the Yitzchak. Now, Avram knew very well the Avoyim Yein Kirim Yitziras Avlad Baskel Yetzis. Baskel Yetzis, so why did he have to send Eliezer? He didn't even have to send Eliezer. The Baskel proclaimed, the girl will come. By the crowd it will come. The answer is no. It doesn't mean that Providence determines. That will be in conflict with the concept of freedom, of free of hobbies. Providence only determines, and Providence will afford Avram the opportunity, afford Yitzchak the opportunity to meet this spouse. But it's up to men to become a link in the manipulations of Providence, and to decide that Yitzchak should marry the suitable spouse. So Avram knew very well in Eretz Canaan he won't find her. On the basis of both considerations. First of all, in Eretz Canaan, the daughters of Emir Roshkel Mamre, so they are not idol worshippers, but for years the Canaanites have become idol worshippers, and that brought about a mild degeneration. It cannot change in a day or two. That is a very long process. So the choice of a spouse for Yitzchak must be made on the basis of the proper heredity. What is the proper heredity? Beis Horon. Because Beis Horon had all the qualities that were conducive to nobility of character in a woman. So that was the semen. So the sign that he established. First of all, he said that if he sees a girl coming over towards the well, towards the evening, and we can very well understand that in those days in the Orient they did not have, you see, artificial lighting. So it's already towards the evening, it is already getting dark. It's already getting dark. And perhaps there was even an element of risk involved. Maybe many girls were afraid to walk at night back home. So if he asks the girl, can I have a drink of water? And then if she says that she'll fetch a drink of water, and that she'll also fetch a drink of water for the gmalim, and then what did you say? Vatmaya, vatakadola, shekes, vatoratidlabe, rishe vatisha vichol gmalo, that will be a sign that she's a suitable spouse. But first of all, it will indicate that she is a gemelas chesed. She's a gemelas chesed. That she has compassion even for animals, not only for human beings. That's number one. But then, as to the suitability for Yitzchak, that she is adapted for Yitzchak, she will fit the peculiarities of Yitzchak. That was also a good sign. Why? Because what Yitzchak lacked was the gvura. Yitzchak had gvura. He had the gvura of perseverance, of patience. But Yitzchak, in a certain way, was a passive character. He lacked the energy. He allowed us. He allowed Avram to guide him. He allowed even Eliezer to guide him. But he He had the perseverance and the patience. That's also a Gruov. But he lacked the Gruov of putting up a fight. So the spouse that would be suitable for Yitzhak had to be one that had energy and that could supply and the shortcomings in Yitzhak. And Rivka, by running towards the well so many times and by fetching enough water for all the 10 camels, showed that she had energy, that she was not a passive character in any way. So that showed that she was not only suitable for Yitzhak as a son of Avram, but that she was also suitable to Yitzhak's, to fit Yitzhak's peculiar makeup.
All right.